blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 363, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. From the depths do I invoke thee, Lord, to me incline thy ear. To my voice be thou attentive, and my supplication hear. 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter 363.
to read from God's holy and precious word from the Gospel according to John, thereof chapter 3, but first the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 3, the first 21 verses. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we are once again in the way of thy good providence permitted to attend thy house of prayer. And thou dost say that thou didst not send thy Son into this world, in order to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And Lord, thou knowest the need that we would be saved, because we are ever lovers of darkness rather than the light, and we need to be delivered from that love, and from the love of sin, from the love of vanity, from the love of the world, that we might love God, and that we might love his dear and only begotten Son, that we might love righteousness and truth, that we might hunger and thirst after righteousness in order that we might be filled. But Lord, thou knowest the wretched unbelief that lives within our hearts. For thou wast indeed lifted up, that whosoever believeth in thee should not perish, but have eternal life. And Lord, thou knowest all that wretched unbelief that lives in our hearts. We do not have any desire to believe in thee, and we have no power to do so, for our wretched will is so inclined unto our own selves, and we can never bow to give thee the glory and to acknowledge that we are dead in sins and in trespasses. O Lord, we beseech thee, it is thy holy day again. It is a time that thy service may be held, when the preaching may go forth. And Lord, without thee we can do nothing. It is all laying in thy own eternal hands. Oh, that thou, in all thy mercy, and may look upon us with our dear children, that thou wouldest stop us, Lord, on our mad career, as we are hastening, fast hastening, each one of us, young and old, to that great and never-ending eternity when the callings are coming unto us, day after day, both young and old, that we have here no continuing city, but that we must seek one to come. And Lord, thou knowest that we have no desire to seek. Oh, teach us to use the means with great faithfulness, that thou may work that desire within our hearts. When we would but listen, when we would but obey thy commandments, oh, bring us to thy blessed footstool, O Lord. How great is thy love, that thou didst send thy only begotten Son into this world. Oh, that that love may draw our hearts, that we may be filled with it, both young and old, that we may be influenced in our own souls, and that we may be drawn by thy Spirit, because there is nothing else that will be powerful enough to break us in our own way, and to turn us again in truth and in uprightness with all our heart and might and strength. Oh, to bring us in the place where we will never come. Oh, to bring us in the place of a true confession of guilt and of corruption. Oh, deliver thou us from all our iniquity, but also from that great and deep pit wherein we have brought ourselves and our father Adam. Lord, have mercy upon us. Look upon us, though, that we are so undeserving in ourselves. Remember us in all the needs and the cares of this world. They are so many. Remember the sick and the afflicted. When there are testings done, when there is news that is coming, Lord, thou knowest all our hearts then. Oh, that thou may bless and sanctify afflictions in mind and in body. Open thou our poor blind eyes for the first time or by renewal, and bring us in the place that we will never come otherwise. And wilt thou send forth thy Spirit to go along with these things, that they may be just a little means in thy powerful and most merciful and gracious hands, to break our hard and stony hearts, and to bring us to thy footstool. Care for all those that are in need, especially those that mourn. For we are miserable comforters, and it is alone what can come from thee that is able to give peace and comfort and a stillness in our hearts, to bow under thy will in all things, and to prepare us for that great eternity that is coming also for us. Wilt thou care for all those that care for others, first responders, doctors and nurses, and all those that do the work of mercy, that thou may encourage them in all discouragements, that thou wilt strengthen them in all weaknesses, and that thou may bless their efforts, protecting also from all dangers. And wilt thou teach us all to love thee above all, and our neighbor as ourself. Do remember our Lady's aid, when they also are doing many labors of mercy. Wilt thou be on their right and on their left hand, and bless the labors of their hands. Wilt thou remember all thy truly sent servants. Remember the schools, the teachers, and the administrators, the school boards. Lord, thou knowest each and every one in all thy kingdom that is to come, and the efforts that are put forth for the sake of the souls of our rising generation. Oh, bind it also on their young hearts, that they may in the days of their childhood and in the days of their youth call upon the God of heaven and earth, that they may be given while they are still young to see that all is vanity and vexation of spirit, and that they may be given so to bring themselves to the means of grace continually, and also to their own secret places, a little secret chamber, where that may be, that they may fold there their hands and close their eyes and bow their knees and supplicate for the need of their souls and of the souls of all their loved ones. Care for parents. Help them. Give them strength and wisdom in the upbringing of their children. Remember all that rule and reign over us. Lord, give men who fear thy name, and bring us back to thy law and to thy testimonies. Care for our mission field. Wilt thou strengthen all that labor there, and bless the efforts to the length and breadth of this whole world, wherever that thy word is come in truth. And where it is not coming in truth, O Lord, there art thou art able to correct it, to bring it into the hearts of men, and to instruct and to bring thy children unto the truth. Wilt thou put away all the devices of the devil, because he goes about as a roaring lion, not only, but also as an angel of light, to twist and to turn, and thy holy word to deceive men thereby, wolves within thy courts. O Lord, put it all away, thou who art that great shepherd of thy sheep, that thou may care for them, and that thou may bring in thy flock, and that we and all ours may also be included in that number.
Help thy people. Help them to wait upon thee, O Lord, that they may be given an eye to behold thee also in this day, that their eyes may be opened for the first or by renewal for that free and for that sovereign grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that they may be given to behold thee, show thyself, Lord, a little through the lattice in this afternoon hour, that the kernel of that truth may also be upon our lips and in all of our hearts, and that thou would use it for the deliverance of poor souls that cannot deliver themselves, and that thou wouldst feed thy flock amongst us, and that thou wouldst increase their number. Oh, that thou wouldst not let one of us go as we are traveling to meet thee, bind the importance of these matters upon the hearts of young and old together, and be thou with us in mercy in this afternoon hour. Strengthen us to bring thy word in mind and body. Give that word to burn in our heart, that it also may be brought clearly up over our lips for the understanding of man, but also for the receiving of babes, that which is hid from the wise and prudent may be revealed unto them, and that thou wouldst so gladden them and us by thy deeds. Forgive thou all of our many, many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 403 all the stanzas. Praise ye the Lord. For it is good to sing unto our God. 'Tis right and pleasant for his saints to tell his praise abroad in what follows in all the stanzas of Psalter 403. Thank you.
Congregation, the words of our text can be found once again in the Apostle, in the Gospel of John, the first chapter, John chapter 1, and thereof the verses 12 and 13. John 1, verses 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So far in the words of our text that speaks about the true light received. First, the benefit of this receiving. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The benefit of this receiving. Second, the manner or the means of this receiving, even to them that believe on his name. The manner or the means of this receiving. And last, the cause of this receiving, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, the cause of this receiving. Thus the true light received, first the benefit, second the manner, and third the cause of this receiving. Thus the true light received. Last time we spoke about that true light unknown, and that true light rejected, thus it was not received. He was in the world, and the world knew him not. It was unknown. And in the second place, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. That was, we heard, the depravity of the soul of man, of his mind and of his heart, of his intellect, of his affections and of his will, everything from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot after the fall, completely corrupted. He will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. But now we read, John says, but as many as received him. Thus maybe you say, well, see, it is not that bad. Because then there are still that receive him. Is that so? No, that is not so. Because we read the Lord Jesus speaks about that full and total depravity of man. And he says that no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And he says, ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. Thus, everything, the ability of man and that will of man, so completely corrupt. Thus, the declaration by the Lord Jesus Christ of our spiritual death. He knows about it. He knows about it. Do we also agree with that? Do we ever feel that? Do we ever mourn because of that spiritual death? And still, we do read here, John says, but as many as received him. So what is that then? That is, congregation, a declaration of the deliverance. The deliverance of that fallen soul. Is that ever a wonder to you? the possibility that you may be delivered from such a fallen state. Do you ever say, "Oh Lord, deliver my soul"? And wilt thou deliver me from that pit of corruption? Wilt thou deliver me from myself? And wilt thou deliver me from that my sinful existence and my willful, sinful disposition? Wilt thou take it away? Renew me and make me a new creature that loves thee above all and my neighbor as myself? There is no greater evidence of such a renewal than the receiving of that true light, that Word of God, that Savior that God has sent into the world. That is evidence. Evidence that there is a new understanding. Evidence that there is a new love, that there is a new will, that there is a new choice, because such a choice is not living in our hearts by nature. Then we acknowledge the fall. And then we acknowledge our guilt and we acknowledge our corruption. And then we receive the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in a name in the Syrian. The leper. What do we read? Then went he down. Then went he down. What a change. What a change. Because he was looking and looking and looking and looking for a certain way. And he was even angry when it could not be in that way. And now the Lord showed him another way. That was so very, very simple. And that was so very, very free. And then the Lord gave him to bow. And the Lord brought him down and humbled him. And the Lord cured him. Congregation, did we ever so go down with that man? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Thus, he is describing the great benefit and that is given to those who receive him. Does that make your heart burn? You know, Jude, he says, you must make a difference. He says, of some have compassion. And he says, others save with fear. He says, plucking them out of the fire. We know that Saul of Tarsus, he had to be cast onto the ground in order that the Lord may stop him. Do you need that too? That you would be cast, do you ever say, what will ever stop me? What is able to change me? Do you know what David says? He says, thy gentleness hath made me great. Is that not a wonder? How would you like to be stopped? Would you like to be stopped like Saul of Tarsus? Or would you like to be stopped and converted like David was converted, like Timothy was converted? We don't have a choice. But congregation, do not be so envious at that way that Saul of Tarsus had to go that was not so easy. And there were so many sins, young people, that man had to mourn over for the rest of his life, what he had done in his life. Oh, the Lord, he is so very tender and good. What does the Lord do? He is often just drawing. He is setting, as it were, a bait for a fish. That he is seeking out his people in such a loving and in such a gentle manner. What do we read here today? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. What do you think of that? To be a son of God. Is there anything in this whole world that you could seek that could be so great, that could be so precious, as to be a son of God? We read about Adam, which was the son of God. No, not in the same way that the Lord Jesus was the son of God, but Adam was the created son of God. And we know that Adam has forfeited this sonship of God. And now that restoration into that sonship, that is also not the same as the Lord Jesus Christ. But what does the Lord Jesus himself, and what does Paul say, that the Lord Jesus was sent in order to do this? He says that God has sent forth his Son in order that we might receive the adoption of sons. Who can imagine that? Who can fathom that, congregation? What does it mean to be a son? Oh, that means so much. Will you try to say something of that, young people? What is that? What is that? That is a relation, you say. A son. You ever think about that relation? Between you and your father? Between you and your mother? A very, very special, a very, very beloved relation. Is that so in your life? Between you and your father? Between you and your mother? That is a very special relation between you and your children. And now there is so much in that relation that actually we could never come to the bottom of that, could we? Or you could say something of that, each one of you, because your father is someone different than your next door neighbor. And then you could expound on that, couldn't you? You could say what your father is to you, what it means to have a father, and so on. Because that relation now, that is not just in a natural way between God and his people, but he will express something by this. Satan tries to take away that relation. There are so many fathers that are now missing from their homes. As Satan does this, he makes difference between fathers and mothers, and that the family may no longer be together. And when our children do not know what it means anymore to have a father, and then they do not know anymore the meaning of the Word of God when it speaks about being a son. Or is there now something in your heart in this afternoon, and that says that is now such a great wonder that the Lord speaks in his holy word that it is possible actually to come into such a relation unto God as I am with my natural father, and that I may actually be called the Son of God. What man is there of you, the Lord Jesus says, if his son ask of a bread of him, will he give him a stone? If he ask of him a fish, will he give him a serpent? You say, oh, surely a father will not do such a thing. And a son can do so much. Oh, that is not in your case, young people and children. But a son can do so much against his father, and his father will still love him. You understand that? Or if the Lord spares you to become a father, then you will understand that. Oh, that love with every transgression does not just go out of the heart of a father. That was experienced by that prodigal son. That is now the experience of that true church of God. Why is it that a son asks something of his father? Well, you say because he is his father. Because he lacks and his father has. That is not the only thing, because the next door neighbor has also maybe. But it is because of that relation. It is because of the love of that father. It is because of the beneficence that is living in the heart of that father. There is no bleeding of a son that is not becoming also the bleeding living in the heart of a father. Just think about that father of the lunatic. Because then he is pleading with the Lord Jesus that he will do something, that he will cure, that he will deliver his son from his lunacy. How is that, fathers and mothers? Oh, we spend time on our knees for our children. For ourselves and our children, beseeching the Lord that he may deliver us and our children from the power of corruption, from the power of that pit. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The adoption of children is a great benefit, and it is a benefit that is highly coveted by that true church of God. Not that it does not belong already to each and every one of them, because Paul says and that they are predestinated already unto the adoption of children. That is, according to his good pleasure. Thus it is indeed belonging to each and every one of them, but now to be given to feel something of this, to know something of this, to experience something of this in our own heart, that is another matter. Because the Apostle Paul also speaks about the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. So that is now another matter to know and to feel it. How many of God's children do not with Newton say, 'Tis the point I long to know. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? This is what causes often, they say, anxious thought. Am I his or am I not? There are steps. There are steps in the life of grace. There are steps in the leadings of the Lord when he is leading his people into that blessed and high knowledge of himself. And this now, congregation, is one of those high steps of grace, to be led a little into this knowledge that is connected actually to the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is connected to the sitting at the right hand of the Father. It is one thing to experience in a personal way Christmas in our life, that is, that Christ is born in our heart. It is another thing to experience something of Good Friday. Another thing to experience something of Easter and the resurrection. The Apostle Paul said, "All that I might know him and the power of his resurrection." Thus, there are things, there are certain steps, there are certain points that the Lord is leading his children into that blessed knowledge of himself. But when Christ now ascended into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God, then he has brought with him his church. Thus we see there that people are brought back into that Father heart of God. Then they are made sons and daughters and brought back to him, adopted by him as his own children. And now it is a great benefit if we may just, oh, if we may know just a little part of that. Oh, that we may be given by that grace and that true faith, by that power of the Holy Spirit. Not only in the exercises of faith to look upon that Son, but also to know that I am a son. Not only to believe in the activity of faith that he will do what he promises to do, but also to know by the reflections of faith that he has made me one of his own. Thus, oh, there are such blessed things and there is such a great blessed knowledge that is to be received at the hand of the Spirit of the Lord. And now for whom is that benefit and how is that benefit received? We see that in our second thought. What do we read as, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's how is that Savior received by the church? By faith. Even to them that believe on his name. That is the only way that we are able to receive a spiritual gift. And that is to receive it by that hand of faith. To them that believe on his name is given power to become the sons of God. That is given to each and every one of them. What is that? That is the power. That means the right to be a son, the privilege to be a son of God. That is everything that flows out of Christ is given unto that church by a true and living faith that is given to them that are united unto him. Oh, we heard about that vine and that people, they have to be fed by that vine. They need to be kept as a branch in that vine because there is nothing. When that vine is cut off, when that branch is cut off from that vine, then the branch will die. So everything that flows out of Christ becomes the church's by virtue of that union. And how is that union affected? How is it given? That union is a union by faith. What does Paul say? He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So who are the sons of God? Well, they that are led by his Spirit. What do we need then to know? We need to know for ourselves whether we are indeed led by his Spirit. So the Pharisees, they were very religious men. They did many, many things, even more than the Bible said. Many, many things in their life that they considered to be very holy. and they also avoided many things, which they considered to be very evil, even more than was written in the Bible. And they were men who were very, very respected for their religion. But they were not led by the Spirit of God. No, neither were they the sons of God. What did the Lord Jesus say to them? That ye are of your father the devil. That was strong language. The congregation, that was very clear language. And the Lord, He is clear and will be clear on that day of judgment. And if we do not hear His voice today, we are going to hear that voice on that day of judgment. If that does not penetrate our heart today, then it is going to penetrate our heart and our flesh in that day of judgment and to a great and all-decisive eternity. These were not the sons of God. Although they relegated the name of the sons of God unto themselves, they said, we are Abraham's children. But now to be Abraham's children did not make them the sons of God. They had no right to call themselves the sons of God. Thus we can make a great profession, a religious profession, and we can be so respected by everyone that is in the church and also in the world, and not by the Lord. Does that make us tremble? That ought to make us tremble. Each and every one of us, because it is when we die going to be between the Lord and our own soul. No, it is not relegating to ourselves the name of the Son of God, but what is it? John says, as many as received Him, even to them that believe on His name. They are the sons of God. Do you believe on His name? Do you believe on His name? Did you ever believe on His name? Was there ever one time in your whole life that you have believed on His name? Who are those that believe on His name? I read in the Bible about 10 lepers. Say they were all the same. They were all the same. They all had leprosy. They were all condemned by that leprosy. No, they were not all the same. Because one was a Samaritan and the rest were Jews. And now they are crying. And now that Samaritan, does he cry too? What would you do? No dealings. No dealings the Jews have with the Samaritans. The Lord Jesus is a Jew. Those 9 are Jews. I can understand that. I can understand that. But I'm on the outside of it. I am on the outside of it. Are you on the outside of the congregation? Different than everyone else in the congregation. You say, I can understand it. When the Lord would hear them. But He will not hear me. No, He cannot hear me because there is an enmity. There is an enmity that is living in my heart. Oh, that man, that Samaritan man, what did he do? He cried. He cried. That was the man who believed on His name, not only in a miraculous faith, they all did. They all did. But that was the man who came in his unworthiness. And that is the man that did look not only to the power of Christ, but also to his mercy, to his grace, to his grace, that he would heal such a one as I am. Even to them that believe on his name. Did you ever believe on his name? Even once in your life. There we see a man. He is hanging on that cross. That was a man who was worthy to die indeed. It is at the end of his life. Oh, a few more hours and it will all be done. That was a sinful man. His life was a life of sin. It was a life of thievery. It was a life of murder. Oh, then he can say, yeah, well, the Lord will just say, it's at the end of your life. Now you have to die and now you cry to me. He believed on his name. He believed on his name. Oh, the grace that was in him, the mercy that was in him. And that is now what made him cry. Do you believe on his name? Did you ever once believe on his name? In the greatness of your need, in the greatness of your unworthiness, just to cry, just to beg, and to say, Lord, here I am. It is nothing but sin. It is nothing but wretchedness. It is nothing but guilt. It is nothing but corruption. And everything is wrong. And everything is upside down from my side. But Lord, wilt thou have mercy on me? Even to them that believe on his name. Saul of Tarsus. What kind of man was he? Religious man. Pharisee of the Pharisees. And yet a persecutor of the true church of God. And then came an arrow. And there he is lying. Oh, but that man, he came to believe on his name. That was revealed to him when we read, he revealed his son in me. Oh, did he ever reveal his son in you? Oh, then he revealed to you great mercy. And he revealed to you great grace, a grace that is as wide as the ocean. That is able to so freely without money and without price. Take away and swallow up all the guilt and all the corruption that is from my side. And now for one moment for your eye to behold him. Oh, for one moment for hope, for expectation. To go out unto him, that is congregation, what the apostle is speaking about when he says, even to them that believe on his name. These were now men that were led. They were led by the Spirit of God. They are led by his Spirit into their own wretchedness, into their own need. They were led by that Spirit into their own unworthiness, that they deserve nothing but to be cast away from the Lord. And then they are led by that same Spirit of the Lord into the great mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Oh, then they are made willing to bow. Then they are made willing to come just as a poor and as a naked sinner before that Savior. And thus the Apostle John says that they are given power to become the sons of God. They are given a right. They are given a privilege to be called the sons of God through that faith by which they are brought into union with him. Let us sing 163, 2 and 3. The loving kindness of my God is more than life to me. So I will bless thee while I live and lift my prayer to thee. In thee my soul is satisfied, my darkness turns to light, and joyful meditations fill the watches of the night. 2 and 3 of 163. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. How is it possible that a fallen man will ever come to believe on his name? To receive him, because we have heard about his death state. We heard about the enmity that lives in his heart to the Lord and to the salvation of the Lord. Some say, well, we have the answer to that. That fall was not as deep as that. Man still has some spiritual ability left after the fall. He still is able to take hold of that lifeline that is thrown to him in the gospel. There are others say, well, no, man needs something more. He needs the Spirit. He needs the Holy Spirit. Indeed, the Bible says that. Cannot deny that. But God does give that to everyone. He gives that to everyone out of common grace so that they are able to respond to that call of the gospel. What does the Apostle John say? Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. There you have the declaration of God. Not just of men, but by the Spirit of God, showing unto John what to write, that it is not a common grace, no, but that it is a very special grace, that ability to receive him. He says that a new birth is necessary. Thus, true saving faith that is a fruit of that new birth. And without the new birth, there is no faith. And without faith, there is no receiving of him. And when there is no receiving of him, then there is no benefit, no power to be called the sons of God. Thus, it is like a chain, and that chain that has links in it. And that chain is beginning in that never begun eternity. It is beginning in the election of God. And every link is bringing back unto that election of God, his good pleasure, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood. So the Jews said, we are Abraham's seed. And they gloried in that, because we are now the children of Abraham. And the Lord Jesus said to them, he says, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So you may be a Jew and you may be a child of Abraham, but that guarantees you nothing. Is that a privilege? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. A great privilege. But that does not make you a son of God. You have a converted father, a converted mother, grandfather, or grandmother, children. That does not guarantee you anything. Is that a great privilege? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because they pray for you, and the Lord is often pleased to hear the cries of his own children and for their own seed. And yet, John says here, not of blood. Thus the birth that John is speaking about is not a birth of blood. It is a birth itself that has a different cause, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. I will read to you what Matthew Henry says of this. He says, man labors under a moral impotency of determining itself to that which is good. A moral impotency. So you know what that is, young people. Impotent. So potent is very powerful. Impotent is weak. Right? Weak. It says a moral impotency, not a physical impotency, physically weak, no. A moral impotency, a moral weakness that man is laboring under that he cannot determine himself, he cannot bring himself into and make himself into something which is good. He is under a moral powerlessness. That is what is denied by the very prevalent doctrine of free will, which is sometimes preached openly and other times it is preached very deviously under a certain cover of the truth. May the Lord himself open up his own truth, because there is so much faith and there is so much believing that is by the will, as John says here, of the flesh, of the flesh. But that is not that believing, that faith that John is here speaking about. Many praised the Lord Jesus when he was on the earth. There were multitudes of people. They sang his praises, and a little while later, then they cried out, crucify him. It all died by the heat of the sun. That temporary faith with much emotion that is coming up. But a little bit of heat of the sun and a little bit of persecution, and then it is gone. Oh, are you enthralled with a Christianity, stories of great changes and great growth in Christianity? You know what our fathers say? They say, let it winter over once. Let it go through the winter. Oh, let it be tried a little bit. Because so much of this is just going to fall away. The apostle says that the husbandman hath long patience for the fruits of the earth. While he is waiting for them to bring forth, he says he has long patience when he is waiting for those precious fruits of the earth. How much patience do you have? How much patience do you have, young people? Because they are things that are going through our own denomination. Well, then we need something different. We need something that goes much faster. And we are not willing to wait. We are not willing to be tried. And then we want and think, it's not wrong to want, but then we think to have much more than our fathers have had, and we're able to attain much quicker than they were able to attain because we are so much more enlightened than our fathers were. Oh, be careful. Be very, very careful, because Satan is going about as an angel of light, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born of God. The will of God, the might of God, the power of God, Spirit of God that is blowing wherever it listeth. That congregation is the cause. What do you think of that? What do you think of that? Will be one of two things. You will hate that doctrine, or you will love that doctrine. Why is it that there are some that just abhor such a doctrine? And then there are others. They say that is now the most precious doctrine that I can find in that Word of God. Do you know why? Because that all depends on your view of yourself. It all depends on what you have experienced of your own self. Because if we have never experienced the utter corruption, and we have never experienced the utter inability, if we have never experienced the deadness in sins and in trespasses, we will hate that doctrine. Because then we will say, I am more willing than God is. And then with all my desires that I have, I can affect nothing. I have to wait for Him. And then I might as well not even seek, because God has to do it. Oh, then we are ever haters of that doctrine. But how now does the Lord instruct His people? He tells them the truth. We don't want to hear that. He gives them to experience that truth. Oh, congregation, He has to cut us off. He has to cut us off. We need to know what our spiritual death is. Oh, so dead that there is nothing, there is no true cry, that there is no true desire that lives in our heart, that will that is completely corrupt. So that if it did not begin from another side, it would be impossible. It would be impossible. And that is now the people who are so glad when they may hear of that one-sided powerful work of God. Because that is now the only hope for my soul. If it did not come all out of the Lord, then I would have to perish forever. That is now the horrible pit. And that miry clay that David wrote about, that he could not deliver himself from. And now that people, they are given by the Lord a sight of Him who is the Savior of His people, that is coming to do everything for them, that is not only all what is objective, that is not only to pay the price, but that is also to apply that work, that is also to give that new heart, to give that new will, that new understanding, that love, that desire for Him that I cannot put into my own heart. Oh, we are not brought yet in the right place. If we have never been cut off from ourselves. And that is the truth. That is the truth. That is what the Lord says concerning our fall. And it is now only from that dark and black pit that a man will receive that true light that shineth in the darkness. Oh, then he will comprehend it. And he will not only comprehend it, but he will receive it. when the Lord will make him a willing people in the day of his power, true saving faith that is flowing out of regeneration, that is a blessed thing. And then it receives that true light. And that true light is exposing reality, because the light, when it shines, always shows the truth, doesn't it? And when it's a dark room, you don't know what is in that room, boys and girls. You have all kinds of imagination. What is in that room? It's pitch black. I cannot see. One says one thing, one says the other thing. The light goes on, and then you see. Then you see. And then you see that which is right. Then you see that which is real. And that is now what the Lord does. When he opens, he shines with his light in our heart. And then that Arminian says, not so bad in there. Oh, you say, it is very bad in there. That is what we have to learn. And when the Lord is showing and opening up that reality is what, of what is living in our heart, oh, then we begin. Then we begin to know ourself, our guilt and our corruption. Oh, then we say, oh, wretched man that I am. Do you ever say that? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But do you know what Paul says? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, then David, he says, in thy light we see light. Oh, then when he is shining, and then we see not only the reality of ourself, but that we are also being given to see the light, that true light that has come into the world. And now they that may believe on his name and may receive him, oh, then they may be given that power, that right to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, O congregation of Adam, we read, which was the Son of God. And he has sinned it all away. He has sinned it all away. Oh, do you ever think about that? What happened in paradise and what we have lost there? Oh, do you ever think how that can be regained? That can be regained? Would that not be a wonder? If we may be called the sons of God, the children of God, I don't mean just by the world and by the church, but the Lord himself says this. What do you read of that prodigal? He says, I will arise and I will say to my father, I just want to be thy servant. Let me just be as one of thy servants. Why? Because I am not worthy to be called thy son. Is that for us too? Oh, I am not worthy to be called thy son. And then the Lord Jesus, he tells a parable. And he speaks about that father. And then the father said to that boy, or he said of that boy, he says, this, my son, he was lost and he is found. And then he gave him a ring of a son and the robe of a son. That is the benefit. That is the benefit that is received through faith by those that are born of God. Is there a heart that is burning somewhere? A heart that is burning. When that is now laid before us by the Lord. Oh, for that benefit. Oh, could I only receive that? Then I have what I need for the time. And I have what I need for that never-ending eternity. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. O Lord, it is a birth of thee. It is to be sought by us. Oh, that is that which is set before us, which can be received by us. Oh, that we may seek it with all our heart, that we may be given with that prodigal to a soul arise again in true repentance, in true confession, that we may be brought before thee in our unworthiness, and that we may be given to see what thou hast bought and wrought through thy dear and only begotten Son. O, make him precious to each and every one of us, and give us meditations of these things also in the rest of this day. Bring us safely home. Help us in the rest of this day to keep it holy, for it is thy day. And give us also a strength for the week that lieth before us, each one in our place. Remember the consistory when we meet. Lord, help us and give us a wisdom to know how to go forward. And wilt thou thyself be amongst us? And wilt thou teach us that we have to appear before thee, and that that great judge does see everything that we do, and that thou thyself may deliver us from all our iniquities for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 318, 1, 3, 6, and 7. The glorious gates of righteousness throw open unto me, and I will enter them with praise, O Lord my God, to thee. And I will enter them with praise, O Lord my God, to thee. 1, 3, 6, and 7 of Psalter 318. the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.